When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Ilya Marchenko.
I'm Dennis Kudla.
I'm Jesper de Jong.
I'm Henry Laxon.
I am Francisco Cerundolo. And you're listening to the Game to Love podcast.
Wimbledon is banning Russian and Belarusian tennis players from this summer's tournament because of the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
The tournament has been stripped of ranking points as a result of its ban on Russian and Belarusian players.
Hey, welcome back, tennis fans. It's podcast time. God, rather than match time, rather than Wimbledon presser time or being in the grounds, it's just good to get back to some good old-fashioned podcasting. And this one, we're going to be reviewing the quarterfinals of Wimbledon, starting with the men's, and we will go on to the women's one in the next video. But it's been a tournament of a few ups and downs. We obviously started the tournament losing loads of the competitors, and then we started losing competitors once the tournament started as well. But we are down to the last eight men, and I'm quite excited about some of the matchups as well.
Yeah, I think this is where we really come into our own on Game to Love. Down to the analysis, talking about all of the potential matchups for the semis and finals. And this one is all about who we think is going to win each quarterfinal respective match. Talk about maybe some of the week which we've just had. As you said, a lot of it has been inside the grounds of Wimbledon this year, which is a nice change from the ordinary. I think that's given us another angle as well on some of our views, because we've been able to see some behind the scenes stuff in the press room and also seeing the players in person. I think I'll probably have different opinions than what I would do if I was just watching behind a screen. And a lot of that sort of stems from watching them play when they're not even playing, sort of warming up before their match, just the way they're striking the ball, how comfortable they look. And you can really feel that when you're there in the stadium. I mean, Novak Djokovic, I am not his biggest fan. Like, I'm not a big thing, but just seeing him, I was a bit mesmerized by his movement and the way he returned serve against Van Rijthoven. I've never seen something like it. It was honestly something that will always stay with me in my tennis mind, because he was just gliding towards the end. And I've not seen any player do that. And of course, we did get to see Rafa as well. Yep. He looked very good against Sonego the day we was watching. And yeah, I'm really excited to get into this one and give some of our picks. Great to see some of the regulars in. We've got Gary in saying, good evening, gentlemen, and everyone. Another great day of tennis. Novak and Rafa might really be challenged in the quarters. Well, they are opposite ends of the draw, so they could potentially meet in the final. But as Gary alludes to, they could be tested. There's some really tough matches. I would say more so for Rafa in the Taylor Fritz one, because he's not dropped a set. We've got Lewis in saying that the Nadal Fritz one looks interesting. Agreed. We've got Kathy in. We've got Anya. We've got Dremt Tennis. We've got Leon and Laura saying another great day of Wimbledon. Yes, it has been a good day. And probably the best place to start is with some of the results of today. I don't think we've got a thing for it, but I'll just read them out anyway. So in the men's, or maybe I can just share it actually.
I can share it. I can just whack it onto the screen. Just bear me 2 seconds.
All right, I'll let you bring it up then. So on the men's, we'll start there first. This was the match of the day for me. The one I enjoyed the most. I watched it from start to finish while I was working. I had it on in the background and I was going all the big moments. I stopped working and watched the TV. And that was Christian Garin, Alex de Minaur. I was thrilled that Garin was able to win. I was cheering for him and rooting for him. And it was five sets. It was one of the longest matches of the championship. Really good match. I feel a bit sorry for de Minaur because he put his heart and soul into it and still couldn't win. But
had match points, didn't they?
Two of them, yeah. Well, I think he had more. Did he have more in the end? No, I think it was just the two.
Two, I think, yeah.
We had Nakashima, Kyrgios. That one went five sets. Wasn't expecting it. Kyrgios with a few shoulder problems. Kubler Fritz, straightforward. Nadal beating Van der Zandt. Straightforward in the end, but the third set was a bit strange.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he was 5-2 up and then ended up getting broken back and ended up in a tiebreak. And even in the tiebreak, he was up and then still got pegged back again, but got it over the line. I don't think he wanted to go another set. That wouldn't have done him any good at all. Then we might have had the roof close. You don't even want to think about what would have happened if he'd have had to go on another set. Yeah, it obviously bugged him when he had to do it against Sonego. It sort of changed the match for the short space of time in those last couple of games. So.
Yeah, and we're not going to move on to the women's because there's no point because we're going to be doing another one. We're doing a podcast for that afterwards. But if we go back a day, we can look at the other matches. So Goffin beat TFO in five sets on the same court as what Garin was able to beat de Minaur. Yeah. So that had back-to-back five setters, similar times as well. Cam Norrie beat Tommy Paul very easily. Sinner beat Alcaraz. He was inside the stadium for that. It was great. Amazing. And was inside the stadium also for Djokovic Van Rijthoven. He beat him in four sets. So that is the round of 16 matches. I said my highlight was the Garin one. Do you have a particular highlight out of the eight matches?
Well, I can only really base it on the stuff that I've seen. And unfortunately, I wasn't really able to see the Garin match today. I was too busy with work. So I'll go back to the one that I was just so impressed with. It was so exciting. If you compare the atmosphere to the other matches that we've seen over the last day and a half, Sinner Alcaraz, I thought it just had everything. I mean, I really felt the whole stadium rocking when we were in there for Sinner Alcaraz. And even though there was probably more people pulling for Carlos Alcaraz, you could still see that Jannik Sinner, everybody has, he has everybody's full respect. So I think he's incredible. Yeah, I think Jannik Sinner played so well. And I was like you said before, when you get to see when they're hitting it there, how hard Jannik Sinner hits the ball and into the corners and how accurate he hits it. I think there was one forehand cross-court winner, which in the flesh, I just thought, oh my word, and Alcaraz is quick, and he sort of dived and tried to get it, and it just went whipped into the corner. I just thought, oh my word, and everybody sort of like leapt up, like, oh yeah. My, just incredible, mate.
There's a lot of gasps for disbelief, I feel, in the stadium as well. You don't really get that over the TV. Well, but people are shocked watching it as much as we are.
I was going to say, if you want to see live reactions from the match, sign up to the Patreon, and there is some exclusive Wimbledon content, some live reactions of John Silt. I'm telling you, these are some great reactions. Like one of the best shots of the match that I caught on camera, which was Carlos Alcaraz's half volley. Amazing. It was incredible. I mean, the whole place got on their feet after it. We just couldn't believe what we'd just witnessed. One of the most incredible rallies finished with just sublime hands from Carlos, but wasn't enough on the day. Sinner, consistent. And that would be the one thing that I'd say he's lacked before in other Grand Slams, is consistency and looking like he can really take the ball by the horns. He has in this match. And I even said, I think if he loses this third set, I think he might lose the match. Prove me wrong. Just came straight back. Just won the fourth set the same way he did the second. So well done to him. He's definitely improved.
Yeah, really good. I think that cues nicely for the next tab, because it is the quarterfinal matchups. And what better way to start with the world number one and Jannik Sinner? We spoke about Djokovic beating Van Rijthoven. We spoke about Sinner beating Alcaraz. We was in both of them. We watched both of them live as well, which is great.
Yeah.
You got to ask a question to Sinner about how he overcome Alcaraz and also the respect between the two of them. You asked Alcaraz, how do you see this one going? Because it's a complete different thing altogether for Sinner, because he's going into this as an underdog, a massive underdog. He's always struggled against the best players. He's played Nadal, Djokovic numerous times. The same result, the same thing happens every single time. And I thought that he shows promises in a few sets, but ultimately can never, ever close it out. And the closer he gets to the business end, the worse he gets. Is it going to be different this year for him?
I'm not so sure, to be honest. Even though he did look very convincing, we still saw the signs were there against Carlos Alcaraz, didn't we? In that third set, Alcaraz looked like he was starting to get in. Sinner was serving, and it all started to fall apart, and he couldn't get a first serve in. His serve was amazingly fast. And I was very, very shocked to see how good Sinner's serve was. But I still saw the signs of frailty there, unfortunately. I think Djokovic, I saw everything that you would expect. Everything and more. We were both sort of just blown away by Djokovic. He makes it look so easy. That's the crazy thing about it for me. I don't think Sinner's going to have enough to take out Djokovic just based upon the experience. And he just, his onboard computer, unless Sinner plays the perfect match of tennis and hits every single line, I can't see him beating Djokovic.
Well, there's a tweet I really like, and it was talking about how well Sinner played against Alcaraz. And if he is able to reciprocate that same level he did against Alcaraz, it's just the last one on Ben on there.
Well,
then in that case, he is going to be in for a real shot of beating him. I'm going to go as far to say that. But that is a massive if. He has to play as well as he played against Alcaraz and some. And
more.
This was a good tweet, because Vance identified 10 things he thought Sinner did extremely well against Alcaraz. And I must admit, I did agree with all of it. And that is that he returned phenomenally well. Superb cross-court running forehands. That was the ones
that
were very evident. And I've always made the joke of the Italians on the run. There's no better nationality. And there was a moment where he did one, and you instantly turned to me and said, there you go. Look, you're right, JG. Italians on the run.
I know, again. Literally again. And it was one of the best shots of the match. It was a long rally, and it looked like he was out of the point. It went all the way into the corner, and he just saw him storm past and go, boom, flick it all the way into the corner down where we were sitting. And Alcaraz, you know he's quick. He got there, but his racket was just that far away from... He just couldn't get it. And
yeah.
Amazing stuff.
One of the quickest players as well, and he couldn't get there. So credit to Sinner. The third one was backhand passing shot too good. He got the better of the backhand to backhand rallies and was offensive of the Carlos backhand slice. He saved 7 out of 7 break points and never got broken. This is one I want to stop on again.
Massive.
Because that was very evident as well. He seemed to put a little bit extra on the serve on break point, and he didn't play within himself. Today, on the match I was watching with Alex Dimonor and Garin, Alex Dimonor come unstuck because on the big moments, you see his forehand speed, he reduced it drastically. Any big time, he sort of tensed up a little bit and took the pace off, which allowed Garin back in. Sinner, opposite. Big points, he thought, you know what, I'm going to take this on. I'm not afraid of playing in this big centre court stage in front of Alcaraz there, who's sort of hunting me down, trying to. He was hungry, wasn't he, Alcaraz? Yeah, he's always hungry. And Sinner had to save all them break points, and he did it not by any luck. Alcaraz was pumped for him. He played the best tennis in them points, and I think that is remarkable. 27 out of 40 net points won. That's okay. I guess he can do better, but he did come to the net quite a bit. Come up with some clutch second serves in big moments.
Just stop on that one. The only reason that was working so well is because his ground shots were so good, though. He was able to come in behind more stuff because he was so offensive with his shots and so accurate into the corners. Alcaraz scamper into a corner to just get back a slightly lofted return. He was instantly attacking the net and putting volleys away. So that's credit to what you were just saying about the attacking tennis he was playing.
Yep. Yeah, agreed. And you can see there, 66% second serve points won. He was good on. His serve was really impressive. And this is why I want to come to this first, because if he can play like he did against Alcaraz to Djokovic, despite how good Djokovic is, he will be in a he'll find himself in a match, because Sinner is seriously good. Strong mental game and reset beautifully after missing 5 match points. Not being intimidated by Carlos, his drop shot and counter-attacking, well off it. Better balance and position on the baseline, rallies off wings. And as a result, cleaner average ball and mistimed his ground strokes less. So yeah, that's the 10 points. I agree with most of them. And if you want to go back to the first one.
Sure.
That is, the first tab.
Oh, apologies. I thought he meant the first point again. He's like, we're just going to go back over.
No, I'm not going back for him again. But no, I just want to go back to the graphic each time because, this is, we've given our take on it. I think let's get into the prediction of this one now. Maybe we'll do it like that each one, and then we do the prediction. I think that's a good way of doing it. Unless you want to go through each one, then we do predictions at the end.
I don't know. Yeah.
I want to just do the prediction now.
I think we've just spoken about it. So
yeah,
it probably
because
I'm
itching at it too much. Okay. So I'm going to go with this one. I'm going to go in first. And I'm anticipating that Sinner plays the same way as he did against Alcaraz. And I'm going to go Novak Djokovic to win, but in 5 sets.
Wow. Novak Djokovic in 5.
He really impressed me. I wouldn't have said that, say, a few days ago. But based off what I've seen so far, I like Sinner's chances. I'm going to go Djokovic in 5.
Which one? Alcaraz. For me, I've nearly said it now as well. Sinner wins the first set against Djokovic. I'm saying that. And then Djokovic comes and takes it in 4. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen. I think that it takes him a set to work you out when you're playing your best tennis. And that's what happened to Van Rijkoven. I think it's going to be the same for Sinner. I think he'll be able to get a set. And I think it might be even a 6-2 or something like that. He might catch Djokovic napping at the start, be hitting the lines, playing with confidence, knowing there's a big, long match ahead and he doesn't have to, hold back. There's not so many nerves. But then in the second set, I think Djokovic, there'll be a period where it'll be around 2-2 or 3-3 or something like that. There'll be, a long juice. There'll be there'll be something like a break point opportunity that is missed by Sinner. And then we're going to see the Djokovic show. It's going to come back and then he's going to probably take it on a tie break. Then he'll go next 2 sets. He'll probably be more comfortable again, I think.
Right. Let's go to the live chat. We've got Sam with Djokovic in 3, Bahumut going Sinner in 5.
Wow.
Sam saying, I would like to see Sinner Djokovic go in 5. I think it can. Listen, Sinner was so impressive. John Silk's in. How are we doing, Silky?
Hey.
Then Djokovic in 4. Well, he's got no, we're not doing the other ones yet, John. Steady on, just one at a time.
No, don't.
And M's going, Sinner in five, and she's also jumping the gun as well. But let's get on to the next one because everyone's maybe we're going too slow for everyone.
I think
David Goffin, Cam Norrie, the last British hopeful left.
Yes,
the last one. We had a few we were talking about, and we're just left with Cam Norrie. Makes sense because I think he is the best one out of the bunch.
Yeah.
The most consistent. And in the press room, every single British player we've had in there, they've always mentioned Cam Norrie. And the attributes they've said about him is his work ethic is unrivaled to other players, especially in the British camp. He is the one who is so disciplined and works so hard and leads. I forget exactly what Heather Watson said, but I think it was something along the lines of he is the perfect example she would want her kids to follow in life.
Yeah, he said he's the perfect example of a tennis player for anyone. Yeah, he said if you would want anybody to bring up a tennis player to be like one of the nicest people, to be like one of the hardest working, he's like the prime example. And I couldn't agree more, really. I think Cam Norrie, from our interactions with him as well, he seems like a really nice guy. And I don't think he gets the press that he deserves. I think that he deserves a lot more, but he's not really that outspoken. He's very keeps himself to himself, just tries to get the work done on the court. Doesn't really have loads of weapons, but the hard work sometimes just pays off on its own. And I think that that's what he's become. He's become one of those horrible players to play because he's a bit of a grinder now. And that's why he's become good on clay courts, I think.
Yeah, and the only British men to make the quarterfinals of Wimbledon since 2004, Andy Murray and now Cam Norrie. So he's in good company with that, and he's flying the flag. And
first ever
better opportunity. I mean, in a quarterfinal, no disrespect to David Goffin because he's been playing great, but usually, historically, you're looking at, say, a Roger Federer, or it could have been a Matteo Berrettini. We're talking some bigger players than what a David Goffin is. And he's got to be thanking his lucky stars. It's David Goffin, because he will be coming into that one as the favourite, surely.
Yes. Yeah, he is going into it as
on
the favourite.
On home soil,
big
against
favorite.
David Goffin, who's just played five sets, Cam Norrie, for me, should be winning this one. And let's quickly touch on Goffin.
Yeah.
Maybe I can just get up some of the matches he's played. So he beat TFO, who was there on the day when he beat TFO five in five. Set. He
Incredible.
Beat Ugo Humbert, Sebastian Byers, and Radu Albot, one of your qualifiers to watch, the one you bigged up so much. I think you probably had Radu in this stage here, didn't you? Getting to the quarters.
I had TFO, remember? That was the problem. I had him knocking out Radu Albot. But it was between Goffin or Albot. Who was going to make it that far? It was Goffin in the end. But
yeah, I've been very impressed. And I'm really happy that he is now finding his feet again. I remember just after COVID when he got it, he sort of become, playing-wise, like a 500 in the world player. He couldn't beat anyone. Couldn't take a set. He had a bit of a Bashashvili stage where just everything he did was terrible. But this year has been phenomenal. Come very close against Rafa, didn't he, in that tie break?
Yes.
Probably should have won, if I'm honest.
Really good.
And yeah, this tournament been good. Cam Norrie's going to be in for a match, but into the prediction, I am actually going to be going for Cam Norrie to win, and it's going to be in four sets.
Yeah, I think we should mention that the last time that David Goffin was here, he did make the quarterfinals as well. So that time, and you've got to look at it from his perspective now, he thought, last time I got to the quarterfinals, I had to play Novak Djokovic. This time, I get to play Cam Norrie.
Yeah.
Now I've got a real good chance of making that'd be his first Grand Slam semi-final. So David Goffin, it's all to play for right now. And he's been playing some good tennis. That be said, I just got a feeling the British crowd are going to somehow get behind Cam Norrie. There's something in the air. The draw opened up for the real Nadal. The Nottingham Nadals had not a bad draw either. I'm going Cam Norrie. I think I'm going to go Cam Norrie in straight sets.
Wow. I mean, I'm looking at David Goffin on grass sort of since 2019. And these are the players he's beaten on grass. So in Harlow in 2019, he beat Zverev, Berrettini, and then lost to Roger Federer. So let's put some respect on David Goffin on grass. I mean, he beat Berrettini, then Zverev. Really, he's also beat Medvedev at Wimbledon last in 2019. Beat Sardi. He beat Verdasco. And the only players he's lost to, really, are looking at Federer, Medvedev, and Djokovic. You've got Moutet in there where he withdrew. I think there was an injury. But it's incredible grass court form from David Goffin. So don't everyone write him off as a complete walkover. This is not a walkover for Norrie. I think he's going to know himself in a match. Maybe. I might reconsider my pick, but I think maybe I'll just stick with my gut, and that was Norrie in four. We've also got Leon going with Cam in four. I feel like the bookies probably should have had it closer.
Yeah, I definitely. He's 1.36.
I'm surprised you're not giving Goffin a single set. I think that is a tad disrespectful.
I'm going to go just based upon, I think it's going to be three really tight sets. But I was impressed by Cam Norrie in the last match that he played. Fair enough, it wasn't David Goffin, it was Tommy Paul, but he was playing pretty well as well. He seemed to just be able to get it done at the end of sets, which I haven't seen from Cam Norrie before, really, with that being that clinical. He'd struggled at the end of the final third set, but I let him off because he was coming into closing the match off. I was impressed. He still turned it around and won the match in straight sets there. I don't know. Call me patriotic. I'm going for Cam Norrie to just get it done and get it done convincingly and put the shudders up the other quarterfinal of the other two, because they might think, oh no, I've got to play a Brit in the semi-final.
I don't think if it's Djokovic, he's going to be worried at all about that. Let's move on to the third quarterfinal.
Yeah, let's do it.
So now we've got another podcast after this. And this is, well, look at these two. This is the bottom half. Wow. We've got Garin Kyrgios and Fritz Nadal.
That's amazing.
Kyrgios, is this the best he's ever done in a Grand Slam singles? I'm going to have to check.
Equaled to the best that he's ever done, quarterfinals.
Yeah. And when was the last one? Wasn't it Wimbledon, was it?
Can't think off the top of my head.
I'll get it up now.
Yeah, just bring it up. I looked at it earlier, but I've forgotten already. It was Wimbledon and Australian Open, but that was all the way back in 2014 and 15. But never been past this stage, and no better opportunity now. He's playing a Christian Garin coming off the back of 4 hours and 34 minutes on court. But Kyrgios, he just come off the back of his match, bit quicker, the match, 3 hours 11, because obviously there's just a lot of serving. But his shoulder was the problem today, the serving shoulder as well. And that does worry me a little bit for Nick Kyrgios. How much treatment is he going to have to receive just to get through the next match? Garin looked good in his match. Even though he looked tired, I still think he can rest up and come back.
Well, I think I've got a lot to say about this one. I'm going to start with Kyrgios, because like everyone's saying, the shoulder is a little bit of a concern. In the press room, when he was asked about the shoulder, he said it was just a bit of discomfort he felt after the Tsitsipas match. He woke up with it the day after. And I don't think it's anything too drastic. The first set, the reason he felt like he lost against Nakashima was purely he felt the court seemed a bit too small and he just didn't find his range. So it was just sort of him settling into the match rather than any problems in the serving or shoulder. He was still serving as well, as one of the journalists pointed out, ridiculous, like 137 mile an hour towards the end. So I can't see it was affecting him at all. And I wouldn't factor that into it. Christian Garin, I think he's going to be just as exhausted, if not more exhausted, after today, because Alex de Minaur really took everything out of him. It was two people with the biggest heart on tour going head to head, and neither of them wanted to lose. And we had Alex de Minaur falling over. He had to, he was 2 points away from winning the match, and he fell over and his racket landed on his hand, all blood everywhere. He had to get it patched up. And Garin just showed determination to still, he was standing there waiting to serve all this like 5-10 minutes, and he was just jogging on the spot, getting pumped. And then as soon as he come to serve, hit a first serve into a long rally again and just hit some fantastic winner forehand. And Garin is going to be a real threat. And Kyrgios went into his match today looking at the scoreboard, seeing Alex de Minaur two sets up, and he was expecting to have an all-Australian affair in the next one. That's not the case. He's not played Garin before. He doesn't know too much about his game. Watch out. This could be closer than what people are giving Garin credit for. And on that basis, I think he takes a set, but I'm going to go for big Nick Kyrgios in four. because I do have him before a ball was hit in the semi-final, and I think that's going to come true. So Kyrgios in four for me.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Garin, one of the players, surprise package of this whole tournament. Berrettini dropping out due to COVID gave Garin the opportunity. And boy, has he taken, he really has taken the bull by the horns. He's gone, and I've just been so impressed. I don't think there's, out of everybody, I think these two players are possibly two that have impressed me the most in the tournament, playing each other. I know that we've got other players with outstanding performances, but they've really excelled themselves, Garin and Kyrgios.
Yeah, I don't think Kyrgios is where I expected him, so I can't really say that. I thought he was going to, but you can see my bracket. I've got him in the semis. I expected Nick Kyrgios to come into this tournament and play well. We saw evidence of this from him playing on grass before in Halle.
Yeah.
He beat Tsitsipas, like he keeps talking about, oh, I beat you the last week, bro, as well. He loves it. So I was expecting this from Kyrgios. Garin, I didn't expect it at all. But the one thing which Kyrgios has been, and that is the whole circus around him, and he's been in the public eye for the wrong reasons again. This tournament, and there's a lot of people who don't like him, including Pat Cash.
Yeah, as he's saying here, he's brought tennis to the lowest level I can see as far as gamesmanship, cheating, manipulation, abuse, aggressive behavior to umpires, to linesmen. Something has got to be done about it. It's just an absolute circus. Wow.
And
big words.
This tweet from Pat Cash was liked by no other than Stefanos Tsitsipas on Twitter. So he's weighed in on the action and just got his support for Cash. I think it's a little overboard from everyone. I can understand Tsitsipas because he just lost. He's probably a bit bitter after losing. It's not completely wrong what they're saying about him. I do think he does cross the line more times than not.
Yeah,
but it's not as bad as people make out. In that match against Tsitsipas, I did have a little bit of sympathy for him in terms of what Tsitsipas done, for me, warranted a default. And if that was, say, Kyrgios who did it, I think he would have been defaulted. So everything he was saying, in a way, not everything, but large parts of it, was factually correct. And I had some sympathy for him. He is always painted as the dark horse. No, not the dark horse.
The black sheep.
Black sheep.
He was someone's dark horse, I'm sure, as well.
No, but he is always painted as the black sheep in everything he does. And I don't know what... He didn't do as much wrong as what he's done in other matches. It's not great, some of the things he did. I don't like the fact that he feels like he's above the rules. He even said that in today's press conference when he walked on the court afterwards with a red cap and red shoes. The rules are strictly, you have to wear white on the court. He turned up. Someone in the press room asked him, are you above the rules? He said, yeah, I do what I want. That's literally his answer to it. He needs to tone it down a little bit. It does come across a bit annoying at times.
Is it arrogant, you say?
Of course, yeah. But I think a lot of great sportsmen are arrogant. So I'm not going to criticise him too much for that. Look at the best footballers in the world. 90% of them are arrogant. Doesn't make them any less of what they do. I watch sport for more... the ability of what they're able to do on the tennis court rather than the person. But other people watch it for the whole package. Yeah. I can understand everyone's got their own opinion on it. Nick Kyrgios, I think he does more good for tennis than bad. And I think a lot of people have gone a little bit overboard on him with the criticism.
I think it's just because another part of it is probably because it's Wimbledon as well. Like everybody it gets a little bit stuck up sometimes when it's Wimbledon related. Everyone wants it to be the sort of prim, proper and everything like that at Wimbledon. It's the all whites. It's the all England club. We know it's all that type of thing. But at the end of the day, he puts bums on seats. And like I said earlier, Rafa was playing on one court. Kyrgios was playing on the other court. You couldn't even get on the Kyrgios court, whereas you could walk onto the Rafa court. So that type of thing... Kyrgios does, even if he causes controversy. And like we were saying earlier, some people, when they go to watch tennis, that they might not be even the biggest tennis fan, but guaranteed they want a show. They want to be able to come away and go, oh, wasn't that like, oh, that moments to talk about in the match for Kyrgios is probably about, I don't know, 20, 30 moments. In other tennis matches, you might get lucky if you get a handful. And
true.
That's the thing that he's saying that is so relevant in his And he loves Ben Rothenberg as well. I've noticed in the press conferences, he's like, see, Ben's agreeing with me there. It's like, he does put eyes on the sport. And that's the one thing. Not many other people out there are putting eyes on the sport. And I'm sorry to pick on certain names, but there are other names who are bigger, higher ranked people than him who people probably don't even know about who from tennis, like someone like Cam Norrie or someone like Taylor Fritz or people like this, big name players who are very good. But if you said their names to people in the normal public, they probably wouldn't know who they are. But Nick Kyrgios, everybody knows who he is. And everybody knows he's a tennis player. Everybody knows that he's a very skilled tennis player. And they know that he can defeat some of the best players. He's beaten Nadal. He's beaten Djokovic. He can beat the big players. And that's why he sort of has, like, I don't know, like a poetic license, let's say, to act a little bit more arrogant because he knows he can beat the best players.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. There's a valid argument for everything with this. He does cross the line, unfortunately.
Yeah, he does,
but
for sure.
Yeah, I don't really want to talk too much about Nick Kyrgios. It's always the same thing. So let's move on to the final one, which is Rafael Nadal, Taylor Fritz.
Yeah, right. Rafael Nadal, Taylor Fritz.
Yeah, Taylor Fritz not dropped a set.
I didn't give a prediction on that one, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, what was yours? Kyrgios in four. I think it's going to be Kyrgios in straight sets.
Wow. So the shoulder's not going to play an impact at all?
I think he's going to numb it up. I think this is an opportunity to get to a semi, to get his deepest in any Grand Slam ever. This is the perfect opportunity for Kyrgios to actually do something groundbreaking in his career. And I don't think he'll pass up the opportunity. Same as Rafa didn't at Roland Garros. I think Kyrgios is going to take whatever it takes to get to the next round.
One thing which he does definitely need to stop, though, is the abusing of line judges and umpires for no reason. Like, they can't always be against him every single time.
Always talking.
Yeah, but that's where I've really lost my patience with him. Some of the other stuff, okay, it is what it is. I think that's just his style and the way he always has played. But the line judges thing, that's a respect thing. And he is a tad too disrespectful for my liking to ever be considered as a great tennis player. But yeah, finally, let's go to the last one. Taylor Fritz, Nadal. Fritz, one of the best forms coming into this out of all of the quarterfinalists. He's probably served the best. I don't know if he's still leading the first serve win percentage, but he definitely was the other day. Nadal, on the other hand, we've watched all of his matches on the watch-alongs. It's been not too good, not too good, very good, not great, average. It's just been a bit wishy-washy. I thought he announced himself on the scene after Sonego and found his grass court form. But then after today's performance, there were spells of brilliance again and he still won in straight sets. You can't be too harsh. But I don't know, the way he was 5-2 up at the end and then Botic was coming back. I'm still not blown away by him as much as I would be for a Taylor Fritz or even a Nick Kyrgios or even a Novak Djokovic. For me, Rafael Nadal isn't in my top three players what I've seen this year at Wimbledon in terms of ability and performance they've shown on court. And that is saying something because I'm a massive fan of him, but I can't lie. And what I've seen, Nadal isn't in that top three. However, the performance against Sonego, there were spells of that where he was his very best. And I was already thinking of the Nadal-Djokovic final. My mind instantly went there, watching him against Sonego.
The one thing that I don't think that Rafa's had to deal with yet, which is, I don't know if we're going to see it in this next round in the quarterfinal, is a big server who serves big consistently and put his return into the test. Like, can he return somebody who is hitting over 20 aces a match or was in three sets normally because he's done straight sets, everyone.
Yeah, you'd be looking at maybe 30, 40, 50 aces.
That's why
he's been playing.
Well, this is what I mean. I think he's an incredible server. He's a big guy. He's 6'5". He's quite agile as well. He's got good, powerful forehand. So the backhand is solid. I still say there's some areas and weaknesses, but if he serves well, I think he's always good for at least a tie break in every set. And that's but it's just about the mental now. It doesn't even matter about anything else. His game's there. We know he's good enough. But is his is his mind strong enough? That's the big question, and I don't know if it is.
Well, the ATP did tweet out about Rafa, and that is his 309th Grand Slam match win, which is remarkable in itself.
Yes.
Was there another one here? Oh, no, I think it was just that. Oh, yeah, and it's his eighth, and he reaches the quarterfinal for the eighth time. I think you've got that one there, Ben. There we go. So he's reached his eighth quarterfinal at Wimbledon and his 309th Grand Slam match win.
It's pretty incredible, to be honest. Think of how these players are just keep on notching up these crazy stuff. You just see it and it's just a number, but if you break down 309 in grand, it's not even just 309 matches. That would be an amazing achievement. 309
sets. That's quite a lot of sets.
Just matches.
These are matches. The sets, you're looking at what? Well over 1,000.
Think how many, bear in mind how many matches you have to win a Grand Slam. And it's over 2 weeks. And think how many times you have to play a Grand Slam to get 309 Grand Slam match wins. That puts it more into perspective. There's 4 Grand Slams a year, and there's only so many times you can win matches. It's an outrageous statistic for me.
Right, let's go back to the graphic and give our prediction on this one.
Was there a Fritz stat?
I think it was the first one, wasn't it?
Yes, here we go.
So, yeah, number one, Taylor Fritz easily beats Kubler to reach the first Grand Slam quarterfinal of his pro career at Wimbledon. He's yet to drop a set in London and won his last 8 matches. Awaits Nadal or Van der Zandt. We know it's Nadal. Let's go back to the graphic and give your prediction on this one. I'll let you go first for a change.
I'm going to go with Rafael Nadal to win this one. I think he's going to win it in 5.
I'm actually going exactly the same. That was mine. I'm going Rafa in 5. I think he's going to be pushed. It's funny because John's actually going Rafa in 5. I think this is probably the first time all three of us has agreed on something ever. So, yeah, probably never going to happen in a million years now.
No.
But that's fascinating that we've all gone Rafa in 5. And yeah, let's wrap it up there. We'll go on to the women's. Just before we go, though, let's just go through all of them one more time.
Got Rachel, we've got
Rachel there, Fritz in 5. We've got Alphonse Rafa in 3.
Okay.
Capricorn going Fritz in 4. Tiebreak. Almeida going 5 tiebreaks.
Oh, my word. That's outrageous.
And with Rafa in tiebreaks, well, it'll be a very long one. So let's go to the top anyway, Ben, and just clarify what our picks were. So Djokovic, Sinner, I had Djokovic in 5. I've gone Norrie in 4.
Yeah.
What are your 2 there?
Okay. I've gone Djokovic in 4, Norrie in 3.
Okay.
Now that one's going
to be. I think we've got the same outcome on all of them. I've gone Kyrgios in 4.
I've gone. Did I go Kyrgios in straights?
Yep. And then Nadal in 5 for both of us.
Nadal in 5. I thought it was quite interesting for the Garin Kyrgios. Obviously, they seem to be kings of the 5 setters, that Kyrgios has won 5 out of his last 6 matches that have gone to 5 sets. That's pretty big. For somebody who's not supposedly supposed to have much of a gas tank, that's pretty well.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Fair play. But let's wrap it up there. Thanks, everyone, for joining. We're going to be moving over to the women's now, so join us for that podcast. And, of course, if you do want some exclusive content from Wimbledon, sign up to the Patreon. We've got some really good footage from even inside centre court as well, of just some reactions between me, John and Ben. So sign up and you can see all of that. It will be posted on there tomorrow morning time. But thanks for watching. Make sure to like this video, subscribe if you're new, and we'll see you in about 5 minutes.
Will do. See you there, guys.
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.